We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is a message from Ty. I completely lost my voice and hope to rejoin Dan as soon as possible. Please enjoy this episode with Andy Staples. I am resting and drinking plenty of fluids and eating an assortment of Globe tomatoes. I must also admit that Dan is more handsome than I and is truly a college football podcasting visionary in a way that I can only aspire to be. Go Ducks.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo-woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Solid Verbal. My name is Dan Rubenstein. The reason I'm doing this introduction is because, well, you've already heard that automated intro that Ty definitely created for himself, in which he admitted defeat to me, but also he really did truly lose his voice. And so we have on who I like to consider a deeply internal part of the Solid Verbal family, even though he has his own college football universe over at The Athletic, Andy Staples of The Andy Staples Show, key contributor to The Andy Staples Show, I would argue. Andy, thank you for coming on. How you doing?
I think I'm one of the friends of The Andy Staples Show and friends as well. I'm my own best friend. I'm like John Candy's character in Spaceballs.
Spoken like a true college football only child, I think. I have no idea what
that's
that
exactly
means.
Right.
I'm my own best friend.
Spaceballs was introduced to me by the kids downstairs when I was in elementary school. Their dad left for the day and we were all left alone, and they're like, hey, watch this.
Ooh, and this one's a little scandalous and funny. It is. Actually, I wonder where Spaceballs ranks for me in like my Mel Brooks power rankings. Maybe we get to that at the end of the show, but like,
it was my first Mel Brooks movie. So you're gonna remember, like, if I'd seen Young Frankenstein first, I might feel differently, but Spaceballs was my first.
Do you know about, this is so nerdy that we're going here first, and I promise you, and you know the name of the episode, we are going to go to where college football playoff teams are going from here, what their outlook looks like going forward, but have you ever heard of, and I will be shocked and impressed if you have, do you know what the pizza cognition theory is?
No.
Basically,
I stay away from pizza-related theories.
It's a good theory, actually. I think it applies to any sorts of foods. It's basically you judge all pizzas you consume against your favorite and possibly first childhood pizza.
Mm.
So basically, if
judged against Pizza Hut pan for me. Whew.
Okay, maybe not Pizza Hut pan, but like your first favorite non-chain pizza. Like if you had a local Florida or South Carolina pie that is still near and dear to your heart. Maybe that's like a first love, but more important.
Checkerboard pizza in Key Largo, Florida. That would probably be it. A little floppy New York style slice.
That's good. That's great.
Watching Fletch and eating checkerboard pizza.
What a childhood. Incredible. Mine is Amici's Pizza and Pasta in the San Fernando Valley. The West Hills location is near and dear to my heart. Oh, still, my mom still gets, she goes out and buys a tub of their marinara sauce for when she makes lasagna or whatever, because it's cheap and it's delicious. And I think that's the move. So there's your
pizza. That's amazing. And I am proud that I have derailed your show within 30 seconds. That is a new record for me. And I appreciate that. I was told when I did daily radio that I tended to derail things, and like, I shouldn't get so excited that Arkansas has a linebacker named Bumper Pool. And maybe that's not the most important thing to talk about during the show, but I felt like it was important.
I think that just means that was the wrong medium for you. Podcasting probably. With no clear commercial breaks to bump up against to, bumper pool up against to. I think it's better for you. We're all looking for our own platform and our all little cozy space in life. And this is what has found you.
I'm just happy to be here, Dan. That's okay. All there is to it. We got through the 2020 season.
Yep.
A champion was crowned. It was probably the best team that won the championship. So that's good. I mean, yeah. That's kind of all you can ask for when this season didn't look like it was going to go off. If you go back to June, if you go back to August, there were times when it felt like, oh, how are they ever going to do this? But they did it.
They pulled it off. Did they do it well? Unclear. Time will tell as more comes out, but they did it. They definitely did it. And however much kudos you want to assign to that, please do. What we're going to do here today is look at the four teams that made the college football playoff, which I think many people largely outside of East Texas can agree are probably the best four teams of the 2020 season. And even if you're in East Texas and you don't think that's the case, maybe we'll touch on your team as well for being right there. But what I want to do, like I mentioned before, is I want to look at each of these teams because I believe each of them will be replacing a quarterback at the very least, some other key positions, some key coaches. And I think all four of them will look pretty different moving forward. So let's start at the top. You mentioned Alabama. I think irrefutably the best team of 2020 at this point, given how they demolished Ohio State. We are talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, new quarterback, new full-time group of wide receivers, new starting running back, largely new offensive line, new offensive coordinator coming over from a less than impressive stint in the NFL as a personnel guy, but a good offensive mind nonetheless, and some key losses, but bringing back a good chunk of a defense in Alabama. Does that all ring somewhat true?
Yes, I think we're still waiting on a Mac Jones official decision, okay. But based on what he said after the game, it certainly sounds like he's leaning toward heading out. And at first I thought maybe he should come back. And I was talking to Dane Brugler, who is our draft guru at The Athletic, about that situation. And I said, well, wouldn't you come back? Because, you know, the 2022 quarterback classes like Sam Howell and Keaton Slovis and not much else.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't that give you a better chance to have a higher draft position? And Dane, I hadn't thought about it this way, but Dane deals with NFL personnel people all the time and made an interesting point. He said that you might want to go out in the better class. One, because is Mac Jones going to have the kind of weapons around him next year that he had around him this year? He's at Alabama, so yeah, he's probably going to have some good weapons. But are they going to be like these? Maybe not. So you got that piece of it. But the other piece of it is when there's a good deep quarterback class, NFL teams get this kind of FOMO thing going where they got to take a quarterback. And so you sort of get them whipped into a frenzy in the first round where they're taking quarterbacks left and right. Teams are trading up to get quarterbacks. So it might actually behoove Mac Jones to leave right now. And this might be the highest he would get drafted.
Yeah, and his stock, as you sort of alluded to, it can't get possibly higher than where it is right now, given his year with those receivers. He can only go down from, I think, perceptions of his ceiling, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, if he had another great year, I think people would be like, yep, Mac Jones is really good.
It's true.
Which is exactly how they feel right now. So
right.
I don't know that it changes much. I think you're right about that. Yeah. And I think Mac Jones is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I think his decisiveness, his willingness to throw into tight windows and not worry about it that much, I think is going to be helpful to him in the NFL. I think one thing, if you've watched Tua play in the NFL in 2020, he needed guys to be as open as they were at Alabama or he was going to check it down. He's got to work his way out of that. And I think he will ultimately, but that's something he has to work his way out of. I'm not sure Mac Jones is going to need to work his way out of that.
Yeah, at the very least, we're all chasing that AJ Feely life. and Mac Jones
That's right.
can live that AJ Feely, Chase Daniel
Chase
life.
Chase Daniel life is the ultimate.
Yeah, that's true. Man, goals, life goals right there. What concerns you, other than Mac Jones, if it is Bryce Young taking over the reins, what concerns you about Alabama, and we have to use the word concern in relative
very
terms?
Loosely.
Yeah, very loosely.
I'm
but
sorry,
like,
I have no concerns whatsoever about Alabama. I really don't.
It's relatively speaking, where could there be the biggest dent from where they are right now as, once again, maybe the greatest team ever?
I think it's going to be receiver because we said this last year, how can it be better than having Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy and Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith? Well, having Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and John Mechie and Slade Bolden, it's an embarrassment of riches, but Devontae Smith was the best player in the country. I think he proved it in the first half of the national championship game. That's hard to replace. So it's going to be John Mechie. It's going to be Xavier Williams. Slade Bolden will still be there. I like Jahlil Billingsley a lot. I think there's a lot of things you can do with him. He kind of reminds me of what Kyle Pitts looked like when he was a younger player at Florida. And so I think Alabama's going to have a lot to work with. Now, obviously, they're losing quite a bit off their offensive line, but Evan Neal is back. Evan Neal might be the best offensive lineman in the country. Kind of a Penei Sewell thing going into the season. Mm-hmm. And they've got guys that have been waiting their turn behind the really good players who've been on this offensive line. So I'm not as worried about that. Probably losing Christian Barmore on the defensive line, but I think that they get just about everybody else back. Will Anderson was just a freshman this year. Very good pass rusher. Better pass rusher than what we're used to having at Alabama. And I think that's terrifying for teams to think he's going to be older and better. But, I think they are about as complete as you get. We'll see how the offense adjusts. Bill O'Brien coming in. I don't worry about him being able to take what they've been doing and then kind of translate it into what he does. I think he's a pretty smart offensive mind. Like you mentioned, not the greatest personnel guy in the world, but he's not going to be making any trades and he's going to be working with the recruits that they bring him. So I think he's going to do just fine there.
Yeah, fair enough. I think the right answer, just because receiver is where they take the biggest hits and there's so much energy that was paid to Devontae Smith. Not well, but there was energy paid to Devontae Smith from opposing defenses. So, yeah, it's all relative with Alabama. Let's go to their first round opponent. Let's go to the 4 seed in Notre Dame, because Notre Dame, I've had some fun at their expense. I've called it the Brian Kelly treadmill, that they've reached a certain level and they're just there. They're just there year over year, where they're very good, but not necessarily full of killers that you should be terrified of every week. They lose Ian Book. They replace him with Jack Cohn. Offensively, they look very similar. Kyron Williams is young. I know they're going to lose some along the offensive line, but they've recruited incredibly well there. They've recruited
I'm
very
really
well.
Never
defense,
worried about their offensive line.
Right, as you shouldn't be. Do you see them getting appreciably worse? Ian Book was good, but not forever and ever Notre Dame legend. And defensively, they were bordering on excellent, especially with how you look at what Alabama wasn't able to do against them. Is Notre Dame in sort of basically the same spot of being very good, but not necessarily incredibly scary?
I think that's probably pretty accurate. We got to wait and see with a couple decisions. I'd be interested to see, is Myron Tungavailoa-Mosa coming back? That would make the D-line pretty deep if he's back. They've got a couple of guys that are trying to decide, but they've got a good foundation there. It would have been nice if they could have gotten Tommy Tremble back. But I don't think they used him as much as they could have this year. So I just think that they are kind of where they are. I think your Brian Kelly treadmill term is the right one. And the thing is, I had a question in my mailbag this week that I thought was really interesting. And the person asked, could they get past this ceiling that they seem stuck under with an elite quarterback? And my thought is, yeah. Yes, they could. And there's no reason why they couldn't get one. They're Notre Dame. Like, you don't have to be Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, LSU to get an elite quarterback. I mean, when Joe Burrow transferred, if he had been of a different mindset, Notre Dame might have been a school he would have considered. He only ended up considering Cincinnati and LSU. But, if you get a situation where you got two good quarterbacks and they got a pick, you had Georgia doing that with Justin Fields and Jake Fromm. you know, Trevor Lawrence beat all comers at Clemson, and those guys kind of scattered to the four winds. So there's a chance that Clemson, or the, sorry, that Notre Dame either gets one of those guys out of high school at some point in the next few years because they're Notre Dame, they're a good recruiting school, or they get one of those guys on the transfer market. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, Jack Cohn's probably not that guy. We saw Jack Cohn at Wisconsin. He's pretty good. But I don't know that he's Joe Burrow good. I mean, I don't think he is. I think we would have noticed that by now. But, I mean, stranger things happen. Joe Burrow didn't look like Joe Burrow until his second year starting at LSU. So I do think eventually they get to that point. I just don't think this is the year.
I'm trying to figure out, and I'm positive I'm going to miss something, but in Big Ten country, in the Midwest, like, who was the last super high-level recruit at quarterback to go somewhere and succeed? Is it Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State for a year? I'm trying to, like, it hasn't
Who's happened. Not from the Midwest? He's from the, right. He's from Maryland. Right. So, but probably, and I think Wisconsin's hoping that's Graham Mertz. We don't know. The jury's still out on that. He's young, but he's the highest rated recruit they ever had, and he's from the Kansas City area.
Right.
So that's probably it. You're right. It's been a bit of a struggle, but again, the best players aren't always the biggest recruits. I mean,
sure.
Keaton Slovis was a 3-star recruit. You know, nobody really, they thought he was a depth guy at USC, and he wound up being the best QB on the roster, probably from the moment he stepped on the field. And, you know, he comes in game one after JT Daniels gets hurt and just takes over. So you don't always know.
Right.
And that's why I think Notre Dame is eventually going to either luck into or just unearth that guy. But not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, they're a big quarterback away. This year, it seemed Ian Book was accurate, was a good decision maker, was behind a good offensive line, had a good running back. We talked about it a bunch where they just didn't have the danger on the outside. They just didn't have people who put the fear of God, no pun intended, into opposing secondaries that you had to account for on every play. And so it seems that Brian Kelly, even though he's recruited pretty well at receiver, and I don't know if it's a Tommy Reese thing, I don't know if it's an Ian Book thing from last year, it seems that those guys, too, we look at quarterback, but you need that rhythm with somebody who changes the complexion of a field.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping it's Lorenzo Styles, because I really want a star receiver to be named Lorenzo Styles. It just feels right.
I haven't heard that name before. Is he young?
He's a freshman. He's an early enrollee.
Okay.
He's class of 2021.
Oh, okay.
We can have Harry Styles singing and Lorenzo Styles catching passes. It's going to be wonderful.
2021, the name Styles is having a moment. You heard it here first.
They also have an offensive lineman coming in named Rocco Spindler, which is just tremendous. It's very on brand.
I love it. Good for Notre Dame. See, things are already looking like a bounce back year for 2021 and beyond. Clemson's fascinating too, just because Trevor Lawrence has been everything for 3 years, and for the first time in a while, I don't know if Justin Ross is coming back, but for the first time in a while, it's not obvious where they're going to succeed at receiver after succeeding.
Have you not gotten on the Ajoa Joe bandwagon? He's the pride of Alberta, Canada. And I'm telling you, this guy is fun. I'm very hopeful that he becomes Clemson's best receiver. And I met him when he was in high school. He had just committed to them. And he actually went down and played in a high school in Clearwater, Florida for his senior year to get more exposure, and wound up getting an offer to Clemson when he went to their camp. But he's sort of the guy you would expect to see at Clemson, which it didn't feel like they had that guy in their regular rotation this year. Now, Ngata is kind of like that because he's bigger, but not the Mike Williams, T. Higgins, Justin Ross, just long and fast and dynamic. So that's what you kind of hope Clemson gets back to, because I think their offense is at its best when that's what they have.
It seemed like they took a step back along the offensive line this year. It seemed like they, I mean, if you watched any of the Ohio State game and Darian Kendrick, I guess, the secondary looked exploitable for the first time in quite some time. Is that something that you expect to be fixed? Is that something that needs to be addressed immediately, perhaps in the transfer market on those two groups? What is your outlook at those two relative problem areas?
I think they're going to be okay. I trust their evaluation skills at Clemson. They've just been better at it than most everybody else. So I think that they got caught in a situation where they just didn't, they had a little bit of a down year, but I think they'll be fine. And honestly, what they have up front, and now I think they need to make sure they develop guys who can get after the quarterback off the edge, but what they have up the middle up front is going to be very difficult to deal with. The Tyler Davis, Brian Brise combo at defensive tackle is insane. That is really good. And I think when you've got two guys like that at that position, you're going to be good on defense. You just are.
Yeah, they've recruited it. I think it was Trenton Simpson who came in some during the injuries at linebacker. The freshman looks impressive. They seem to be good pretty much all over the field. They've recruited at an incredibly high level. I wonder where Clemson goes from here in terms of, we've got DJ Uiagalelei, who looks physically the part. He came in and looked very good.
I think he'll be fine. We saw him play against Boston College and Notre Dame. Yeah. I really think he's going to be good. And, you know, yes, they lost the Notre Dame game. He had a great game against Notre Dame.
He did.
They struggled to run the ball against Notre Dame in that loss. So that's not on DJ Uiagalelei.
No.
And I do think as they get more comfortable with him, and they were in a situation where they didn't really have anybody behind him at that point. So I think they were being a little careful with him on the ground. That won't be the situation when he's the starting quarterback. I think they'll probably be a little more, you know, just more in the flow of the game when they decide to run him. And he's a pretty big threat when he's running the ball.
So do you see much of a drop off offensively just because of the new pieces, right? Just because of new quarterback with a bunch of new receivers.
But the thing is, they're going to have a spring practice to figure out how to gel together. And
sure.
And so I do think they're going to be okay. I think defensively, I want to reserve judgment until I see what the secondary looks like, because I think they may wind up being in a similar situation where a team with a good enough offensive line is going to be able but that, by quote unquote good enough offensive line, that means Ohio State, Alabama, or Georgia.
Right.
And maybe LSU. That's about it. So I think they're going to be very explosive on offense. Defense, they're going to be tough to run on. We will see in terms of how they get after the quarterback, how they cover. Those seem to be kind of the big question marks for them.
So after the Alabama National Championship game, Kerry Coombs, not in a great place with the Ohio State faithful.
Not so much.
I don't know how much he could have done about a secondary that did struggle, a defense that did struggle at times, especially in that back end. But is that legitimate cause for concern, or is it, what are you going to do against Bama? Like, what does your pie chart look like in terms of, that's just Devontae Smith, and yeah, this is an actual problem for Ohio State given the talent level available?
Well, I think it's two things. It's that's just Devontae Smith, and this is a game where a bunch of guys are still out.
Sure.
You know, they don't have everybody there. Your best defensive tackle's out. Your best pass rusher's out. You're just trying to make things work. They had guys playing out of position in the secondary. I don't think in a normal season that that's an issue for them. I think in a normal season, when they have, you know, just regular injury issues and they can replace guys, I think that's different than, here's these guys you just can't use this week. And you may be able to use them next week, but maybe not this week. That's not going to happen anymore, I don't think, next year. So I'm not as worried about Ohio State having to deal with that going forward. I think they're going to be a little more consistent. I don't think you're going to have a situation where you have a linebacker covering a Heisman Trophy winning receiver happening again.
Okay, fair enough. So you don't see major changes. I mean, Ohio State going into that game, the secondary was the weakness of a very strong, talented team.
Yes.
You don't see any appreciable weakness moving forward for the secondary, or is this something that's still, you know, Sean Wade is a slot corner. He probably is better served playing there.
He was supposed to make all that money this year by proving he could be the boundary corner that Jeff Okuda was the year before, but he may not be that guy.
Right.
And that's okay.
Okay.
He'll make a lot of money as a slot corner in the NFL. But yes, they do need to find that person. You know, and it seemed like they always had that person. That, you know, going down the line, whether it was Okuda, you know, you look at the just run of first round corners
they had
before that. Yeah. So I think they're going to find that. The way they've recruited suggests they will somebody will be in the pipeline that becomes that. But it's just odd that this year it didn't quite work out that way.
They're crazy deep at receiver with how they've recruited, though Justin Fields moving on does, you know, it's something new. It's something new. It does open things up for the offense. You know, they've recruited quarterback incredibly, incredibly well. I don't know if the guy is definitely going to be CJ Stroud. I know they've recruited, they had another blue chipper in this last,
Jack Miller's the other one.
Jack Miller, yeah.
So CJ Stroud versus Jack Miller, and I would assume, you know, the one who isn't getting as many reps may move on.
Right.
Because they keep signing quarterbacks. They haven't stopped. So that's the other thing you gotta consider is there's gonna be a freshman coming in this year and that would be I'm blanking on the name.
I know who you're talking about. I can actually picture his face right now, but I know
they have Kyle McCord coming in this
year.
So there's always somebody else. And Kyle McCord's another five-star guy. He's from Philly.
Right.
So that's...
And it's what, Ewers next
they
year? That's his last name?
Somebody.
2022 is Ewers from Texas?
Quinn Ewers in Texas. Yeah. Now, I think... Now Quinn Ewers was initially committed to Texas and then flipped to Ohio State. He's going to get a chance to see Steve Sarkisian coaching at Texas. And let's see if they can get back in it with him. You know, it'd be December before he signs. So maybe there's another shot. And, you know, here's the other thing. If somebody, especially if it's Kyle McCord, or even if it's one of the redshirt freshman guys, if they establish themselves as a starter at Ohio State,
yeah, they're incredible.
It looks like they're going to be the guy for a long time. You might be looking around.
Yeah, fair enough. And what is your likelihood of that? Is it sort of, do you give that benefit of the doubt to Ryan Day with that group of receivers, with how well that offense did operate, I guess, until the Northwestern game? Do they get that benefit of the doubt? That's the easy way of asking.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ryan Day's great with quarterbacks. Quarterback recruiting is a crapshoot. Let's be honest. There are very few sure things. Trevor Lawrence is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But very rarely is somebody a sure thing. So, but I look at the way they've developed QBs over the years, and it seems like they've always got somebody who's ready to go, or in some cases, two guys who are ready to go when they had Haskins and Burrow. So I'm not worried about them in terms of being explosive on offense. I think that offensive line, now a lot of those guys are headed to the pros, but it's just like Alabama. They've got people behind them who look the part, who will be pros when their time comes. And they'll be able to run the ball. I also think Ryan Day probably got a taste of what it should look like in those, you know, in the Big Ten championship game, mm-hmm. and in the Sugar Bowl. When you can run the ball like that, there's nothing you can't do. Like that is dominance, and that can be Ohio State. I mean, anytime he wants it to be in the Big Ten, that can be Ohio State.
The interesting thing to me too, though, is, is Ryan Day the coach of Ohio State 2023-2024? His name keeps coming up, not necessarily his own doing, but because of his NFL experience, he has something excellent going in Columbus, but certainly his name, anytime any college coach is outstanding with quarterbacks and has that reputation and has NFL experience, that's a reality. Do you think the itch is there?
I don't know. Here's the thing. If you're Ryan Day or you're Lincoln Riley, because your name's going to come up every single year.
Definitely.
But those two jobs are probably the most stable, steady jobs in the sport. Not in college football, in the sport of football. You can be at Ohio State for 15 to 20 years and be successful every single year, and they'll be happy, and they'll pay you tons of money, and you're not going to really drop off. I mean, Ohio State is one of the few programs in the history of the sport that has never really dropped off. It's just always good. And you have a great infrastructure in place. So if you want to go, it has to be because you absolutely want to be an NFL coach, or it's the perfect situation in the NFL. And I'm not sure there's a perfect situation in the NFL. I mean, the Eagles have a pretty good ownership group. They seem to be competently run. But the Jets aren't. You don't want to go there. Jacksonville is going to get Trevor Lawrence and have a ton of cap space. That's good, but you don't know about the ownership. And Shad Khan has said, I want to be in charge of personnel. I just don't know that any of those situations is perfect enough to leave Ohio State for. If you're thinking about it just logically, why would you leave a situation that is set up for you to succeed for 15 years?
I don't disagree. The fact is that Urban Meyer set that place up with how well he built up that program from the inside, the recruiting department. Everything is set up for a coach to succeed on a huge level, and Ryan Day has taken advantage. It seems like a no-brainer to me, but I always assume that there's like a fire in these
some
guys.
Some people just want to. You know, I think Joe Brady would have been a really good college coach, but he wanted to go back to the NFL. He's going to be an NFL head coach, and that's great. You know, some people don't want to recruit. Some people would rather it just be X's and O's, and that's fine. It's just a personal preference.
Right. And Ryan Day likes recruiting, I assume.
He's really good at it.
He's good at it.
I'm not sure how much any adult enjoys talking to 17-year-olds all the time. Right. But I do think, you know, there's some people who are just a lot better at it than most.
Sure. Yeah. I like Nick Saban's whole way of operating of, I'm not going to do anything digitally. You tell me when it is that I should pick up the phone, and I'm going to give everybody I should be calling a phone call. That's a good place to get to in life.
Right. Or you hand me the iPad with the person already connected on Zoom or whatever it is, and I will talk to them.
Yeah. No, that's definitely the way to go. Who's the closest? Now, Texas A&M was the clear closest Power 5 program to the playoff this year. They've recruited well. They have a national championship winning coach. They're in a place where they can attract a ton of talent. And their main competition for talent is either, I guess, LSU or Texas. LSU is always going to recruit well. Texas is always going to recruit well. Do you see A&M's trajectory upward, static, downward? Where do they go from here now that they have finally hit a new high under Jimbo?
I think they're still headed up. The problem is the West is going to get even better because I think LSU is going to be pretty good again because I think they're getting their coordinator hires right. They've hired the OC at Jake Peets. I think they got that one right. The names you hear for DC sound like they're going to get that right. And just the level of talent that they return. Anytime LSU doesn't have a lot of guys drafted, be scared of LSU the next year. But that said, I do think Texas A&M brings back an awful lot. I love the idea of an offense that is kind of built around the Swiss Army knives, the Anaya Smith and Devon Achane.
Yeah.
And I love Jalen Weidermeyer, the tight end. They've got another tight end named Baylor Cup, who's never gotten to play. He has had season-ending injuries his first 2 years during preseason practice. But he is a long, good route runner. You could put him on the field with Weidermeyer and really have a ton of mismatches, especially given the different things you can do with Smith and Achane. So I think they could be very good. I think DeMarvin Leal on the other side of the ball is special. Mm-hmm. So that they're going to have talent to compete with these teams. And I think after a year like this, now that mentally they've got the confidence that they can go play with anybody. And so we'll see what happens with Texas A&M. But I do think Texas A&M and LSU are going to push Alabama in the SEC West. Now, can they push past them? I don't know. We'll find out how good Bryce Young is. But I do think the SEC West is going to be very tough. And then the X factor there, Ole Miss isn't going to compete for the SEC West title by any stretch, but they're going to be
Everybody.
You have to be very afraid of beating you on that Saturday. Like they are going to beat somebody they're not supposed to.
Yeah. Do you like Haynes King? I mean, I think he's the answer at quarterback. Do you like him as for somebody who will add to them pushing Alabama LSU?
I would think so. I want to see more of him. I mean, I think Kellen Mond was a good, fine college quarterback, but they need to be probably a little more special at that position. And given their location, they should be able to find somebody who fits that bill. So maybe King will be that guy again. Like I know I keep going back to the quarterback recruiting as a crapshoot, but it really is.
Right.
It's very hard to know who's going to be good. But I think with the weapons he's going to have around him, I think he's off to a pretty good start.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of the NFL draft thing where teams that build up picks, it's about taking as many shots as possible. So when you're in, you're an hour and a half, 2 hours from Houston and can attract some of the best quarterbacks in Texas and beyond, Texas A&M can take shots. It's easier to find a really strong quarterback at a place
it's
like that.
It's also sort of like the Baker Mayfield thing now with the Browns. I mean, think about where the guys he plays with were picked.
Yeah.
They were picked very high in the draft. You get enough high draft picks and you draft them competently, which it seems like latter-day Browns GMs did, then you got a chance. And then with college, it's even easier because if you can recruit competently, you put those pieces in place, and then eventually you're going to have the quarterback, and he's going to be in a system that's a little bit easier for him to adjust. He doesn't have to be a superhero coming in. And I think that's going to be the case with A&M next year. You're not going to need that QB to be Superman. You're going to need him to be a good, adequate game manager. And then if he's better than that, then you get into some really interesting conversations.
Are they all right? I mean, I love Anaya Smith. I think he is going to become a household name next year. How are they at receiver otherwise? Because it seemed like it was just, for the most part of last year, Kellen Mond to Jalen Weidermeyer. Yeah. Like, where are the options emerging?
If Caleb Chapman comes back healthy, I mean, he was really starting to break out before he tore his ACL against Florida. And he was one that they were excited about for a while. And they just, he had injuries and he never could quite get healthy. And then right when he's breaking out, he gets hurt. Right. And then Demond Demas is the guy who was the big recruit that everybody thought would be a splash this year. He wasn't, but that doesn't mean he's not capable of it. I mean, if you look at what he did in high school, he's really good. So you know, that's going to depend on how hard he wants to work to get to that point.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
Those are the five teams that were, to me, from a talent perspective, from a results perspective, playoff worthy. Texas A&M was right there. I just want to go here now to close it out. How's your body? How's your eating? You lost a bunch of weight. You stopped eating breakfast. Mm-hmm. You sort of changed how you ate. And are you eating? Are you cooking new food? What is the 2021 early report?
Feeling good. So good. We are coming up on the year anniversary of me starting the intermittent fasting. I did
love it.
We took a vacation to Utah last year and I gorged myself there and came back and said, I'm going to change the way I eat. And so I started intermittent fasting and I do the 8-16 and I lost about 40 pounds. And I haven't lost much weight in the last probably 5 months or so. It's just been real steady, but I've been kind of changing my body in other ways, just in terms of lifting weights and different workouts.
Nice.
And trying to get leaner and get more muscular if I can. And so when we get back, we're going to do the same trip again. We're leaving on Friday and we'll be back next Wednesday. When we get back, I am going to restrict my calories quite a bit.
Nice.
And see if I can drop about 20 more pounds. I was 280 when I got back last year. I'm about 240 right now. I'd like to get down to about 220 and see if it's something I can keep up. If I can't, then I can't. I'm not going to starve myself forever.
No.
But I do feel like with the fasting, you can maintain a lot easier than you can when you're trying to just manage it all without a lot of rules. And so I feel like I still don't feel deprived of anything.
Right.
And I think that's the best thing for me. Other people probably find it easier to just cut out carbs or do other things. For me, I don't want to cut out a certain food. I'd like the option to eat whatever I want, but the hard and fast rule of you cannot eat it at this time of day, it just works for me. That's much easier for me to stick to.
Yeah, I'm total same page. I've done it for 2 or 3 years. I don't even know how long I've been doing it. And you do it for a few days and it's not a problem. You have some black coffee, you drink a bunch of water, your stomach mm-hmm. fills up. You're all right. Have you gotten good at cooking anything new? Have you changed, not changed, but have you added to your repertoire?
I added dirty rice during the pandemic. That was one I could make a big pot of and just eat off of for a while.
Walk me through the ingredients and process.
It's pretty easy. I mean, you just take your sausage and you brown it with your Trinity mix, which is onions, celery, and green pepper. Mm-hmm. And then you put your rice in with your broth. You could do beef broth or chicken broth, and then cook it down just like you normally would rice. I like to use Slappy Mama Cajun seasoning.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to add something to that to spike it. Yeah.
Other people make their own or they use Tony Satcheries or whatever. But Slappy Mama seems to work for me, and that's the one my kids like the best. And you know, it's just fantastic because it can be a side dish, it can be a meal, mm-hmm. and it's always good. And it's one of those things that if you don't live in Louisiana, you don't think about all that much. But when it's offered to you, you're like, oh, yeah, I'll take dirty rice. So that one, I think, has been my favorite addition this year.
Every time I've been to New Orleans, I eat dirty rice. And every time I've been to, what's the chain in Texas? The Pappas Brothers? Papado?
Oh, Papado, yep.
Papado. Yeah, like, just throw me a side of dirty rice. Please just...
Well, if you're in Houston, there's a place mm-hmm. called the Turkey Leg Hut. And okay. Turkey Leg Hut is maybe the best new restaurant in America in the last 5 years.
Whoa.
It is exactly what it says it is. They serve turkey legs, but they serve a bunch of different kinds of turkey legs. And one of the turkey legs they have is a shrimp Alfredo turkey leg. So they smoke a turkey leg and essentially hollow a little bit of it out. You don't take the meat out. You just kind of loosen it up a little bit.
Create
and
a cove.
Stuff a bunch of dirty rice in there, and then they cover it in Alfredo sauce and shrimp. It is like the first time I ate it, I didn't realize that I was just drooling all over the table as I ate it. It was that good. I lost all sense of propriety.
What's not to like? All right. Andy Staples, The Athletic, The Andy Staples Show. Key contributing member to The Andy Staples Show. He is his own best friend, as he claimed in the opening of the show. Thank you very much for your time, and enjoy Utah. Enjoy the altitude.
Altitude and cold. It's what I'm built for.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.